ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's not the first time terrorists have attacked a concert, and it happened again on the outskirts of Moscow on Friday night as hundreds of people gathered for a sold-out rock gig. So what do we know of the Islamic State group that's claimed responsibility for the attack? And could the major security lapse see more Russians doubt Vladimir Putin's leadership? I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
My name is Rajan Menon. I'm the director of the Grand Strategy Program at Defense Priorities, which is a think tank based in Washington, although I live in New York.
Rajan, let's start with what we know at this point about the attack on the rock concert in Moscow last Friday evening. Just run me through what unfolded on that night.
So there's a concert hall in northwest Moscow called the Crocus City Hall, and there were apparently thousands of tickets sold. And before the performance began, gunmen approached the main doors, shot the guards, and walked in and began killing people at random.
When I got home, I hugged my children, fell to my knees and said, I can't begin to describe what happened there. They were shooting at us.
So we know that about 130 people have been killed. Many more have been wounded, some critically, so the death toll could rise.
And this was a great shock, of course, for Russians. And very soon after the attack, Islamic State took responsibility. So what do we know at this point about the attackers?
Right. So the Islamic State is an umbrella entity that is a transnational sort of puritanical Sunni terrorist group. And it has affiliates. So the affiliate that took the responsibility for this is something called ISK, K as in kite, standing for Khorasan, which is a region that in their view sort of encompasses the area from Iran all the way through Pakistan and east into Russia's North Caucasus region, which is where the Muslim republics are, including Chechnya. So Islamic State Khorasan is the one that has taken responsibility for the attack. Now, the Russians, of course, claim that the Ukrainians did it, which is not surprising, but there's no evidence that I know of that suggests that's even remotely true.
Yes, all right. Well, let's talk about that a bit more, about what Vladimir Putin has been saying about this attack. But what did ISIS-K want in Moscow? What's the aim of this attack, do you think?
So ISIS-K has painted Russia for a very, very long time as a Christian imperial state, and it's held Russia responsible for a great many misdeeds. It has said that it has the blood of Muslims on its hands from the two wars in Chechnya. It has said the same thing about Russia's attacks on Syria to save the regime of Bashar al-Assad. Iran. Russia is closely aligned with Iran now, especially after the war in Ukraine. It's been getting weaponry from Iran. And Iran is a Shia state, also regarded by ISK as an apostate. And then comes the Taliban. So the ISK originated in a split with the Taliban that happened, I think, around 2014, thereabouts. And it viewed the Taliban as not sufficiently Islamic enough, not faithful to the code of the Sharia Islamic law and so on. So it doesn't like the fact that Russia, especially after its estrangement with the West because of the war in Ukraine, is trying to improve its relations with the Taliban. So it has a long list of indictments, this group does, against Russia. Why it did this now is not clear, but it's interesting that the day before the attack, ISK launched a terrorist attack in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Kandahar is the place from which the Taliban originates.
And Rajan, it's certainly not the first time that terrorists and Islamic State have targeted concerts like this. They've done that on numerous occasions now.
Right. So I was trying to look up a reliable number, and it turns out that something like 146 concerts and festivals of various types have been attacked by terrorist groups of all sorts. Now, we're not talking just about IS here, between 1970 and 2019.
Paris has known terror before, but not on this scale. The scene of greatest horror was the Bataclan Theatre.
Oh my God! 22 people are dead, many of them children, after a terrorist attack at a pop concert in Manchester.
It doesn't take a genius to figure out why these events bring large numbers of people together, just as this concert did. And so it makes for a very large target, gives a terrorist group a great deal of publicity. So not surprising that they pick those kinds of events.
Islamic State has taken responsibility for this attack, ISIS-K, as it's known. But Vladimir Putin, who was re-elected in a sham poll just days before this attack took place, took about 19 hours to actually address the nation. And he finally did that in a video statement.
In Moscow, во всех регионах страны введены дополнительные меры антитеррористического.
So what did he say in that statement? What was he insinuating there?
Well, he began by saying that this was an abominable, barbaric attack, that women and children had been slaughtered wantonly. And then he said, this is a time for us to rally around as a country, as Russians. This affects all of us. He thanked the doctors and so on and so forth. And then he said, while not blaming the Ukrainians directly, although some of his publicists have done so directly, said that four of the perpetrators had been apprehended while fleeing toward the Ukrainian border, and the Ukrainians had, quote, opened a window for them.
They tried to hide and were moving in the direction of Ukraine. According to preliminary data, they had a crossing of the border prepared from the Ukrainian side.
At the very least, that suggests complicity. And he's also tried to kind of link this attack to the need to prosecute the war more vigorously, which in a sort of backdoor sense at least, implies that somehow the terrorist attack and the war are connected.
And Russian state media then began pushing this idea, didn't they, that Ukraine was to blame for this attack?
Yes, it's all over the place in Russian media. And sad to say that in some other countries, this has picked up some credibility. That doesn't matter in the end because people say, well, Putin will ratchet up the war now because he wants to punish Ukraine. He's already punishing Ukraine. I mean, he's been raining down fire on Ukrainian cities, including in a ferocious attack on Kyiv. He's struck various energy infrastructures, including a power plant and a dam. So if he could do more, he would do it. I don't think the terrorist attack is going to make him do anything more than he has resources for doing at the moment.
The US Vice President Kamala Harris was asked on ABC America's This Week program whether the US had any evidence at all that Ukraine was connected to the concert hall attack, and the answer was very clearly no.
No, there is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
So Putin, through state-run TV, was trying to conflate the terrorist attack with the war in Ukraine. And Rajan, I guess that's better than admitting there's been a major security failing on his part, because we know, don't we, that the Kremlin was warned about a possible attack before it happened by the United States.
Right. In fact, I think about 3 days before the attack occurred, Putin, in a meeting with the Federal Security Service, the FSB, said, there are some embassies that have issued an alert about an impending terrorist attack, and I view this as an effort to, quote, blackmail the country and to, quote, intimidate us. So he just kind of batted it away. There's also a report that I haven't been able to confirm, but it's out there, Mm-hmm. That on top of that, the American government told the Russian government directly. Now, if all of this is true, it makes the security snafu, shall we say, much more egregious. And the problem that Putin has is not that this is going to shake his grip on power. We have no evidence of that. But he's projected this image of this competent, tough guy leader that the Russian people can trust with their security. So the attack kind of takes away from the luster of that image.
Well, Rajan, let's look further at what it does mean then for Putin's leadership. It does seem that Vladimir Putin had overlooked this threat from these extremists. And some people point to the fact that he is too focused on the war in Ukraine, that all of his efforts are focused on that, and he's ignored a threat that had never gone away, that's always been there.
Correct. President Zelensky of Ukraine kind of implied as much by saying he's trying to deflect attention from the war in Ukraine by focusing on this threat and blaming it on Ukraine. I think he was saying, you put all your resources, intelligence, and military into Ukraine, and meanwhile, you've slipped up on the domestic front in terms of security. So no matter how you slice it, right, this nobody could say that this is a good thing for Putin.
So when the shock does settle, though, for the Russian people, do you think there will be any fallout at all for Vladimir Putin and his failings in this? Will there be anyone in the Kremlin ready to take him on now?
You know, let me say this. I mean, nobody can tell you definitively yes or no, but I would be surprised if that happens. And here's why. So some people have argued that the war, as it drags on, will ultimately prove to be Putin's undoing and so on. I've seen no evidence of mass disaffection with Putin. That doesn't mean everybody loves him. There may be some people who really like him and believe in what he's doing. There may be some who really dislike him. There may be yet another segment of society that says, well, I don't really like him, but I'm not going to just bother with politics. I'm just going to go about my business. The problem is we don't know how many people belong in each category, but I don't see any threat to his power, nor any attempt by anybody, as far as we can see, into this pretty opaque system to challenge him. Now, if the war continues and it drags on. Now, we're in year three, and this is a war that Russia should have won and expected to win one handily against a much weaker state. If the war drags on and, hypothetically, there's another terrorist attack, then we're in uncharted waters, or not we, but Putin is in uncharted waters, and we might see something much more problematic for him arise then. But we can only say that it hypothetically could happen.
Rajan Menon is the director of the Grand Strategy Program at Defence Priorities, a Washington think tank. This episode was produced by Bridget Fitzgerald, with audio production by Anna Chong. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.